Longer than that because I have updates from other people. So Nicole Price is a senior research scientist at Bigelow Laboratory, and she's been here in Maine for a couple of years now and has done some great work since she's been here on ocean acidification, particularly around macrophytes or marine vegetation. And so she sent me a couple bullet points about results that she has come up with so far. So basically, the theory behind macrophytes is that, like land plants, they take CO2 out of the water column and potentially can remediate ocean acidification at a very local scale. So these are her two updates. This work, the first point I'll make, is work that she has been doing with the Nature Conservancy and also with Hillary Neckels on eelgrass. And eelgrass can raise pH and reduce CO2 in protective coves relative to controls that have similar bathymetric hydrodynamics without eelgrass. So those coves that have intact eelgrass beds are better off in terms of remediating ocean acidification than those coves that have no eelgrass. And that's work that she did in the field in two bays in Casco Bay this summer. The second point she wanted me to share with folks is that she's been doing lab studies with students at Bigelow Lab, and her lab work this summer has showed that sugar kelp, in particular, is quite efficient at absorbing carbon, and maybe even more so than the eelgrass, also more so than ulva, which is sea lettuce, or fucus, which is not rockweed, but what's the common name? Fucus. The fucus, not a bract. Yeah, anyway, the intertidal seaweed. So actually, sugar kelp is better than those three other species of marine vegetation in terms of taking up carbon. So those are updates from Nicole Price at Bigelow. I have an update. Nicole and I are going to be putting some instrumentation inside and outside of a kelp farm in Casco Bay. And I have a picture. It's kind of hard for folks to understand what I'm talking about. I'll share the picture, and you guys can take a picture if you'd like. But basically, this winter, we're going to be deploying some sophisticated instrumentation inside the farm owned by Paul Dobbins off of Chagig Island. So we'll have a pH sensor and a CO2 sensor inside the farm. Simultaneously, we'll have the same instrumentation outside of the farm to see if that kelp is remediating ocean acidification and at what scale is it doing so. So how far outside of the farm can we detect that difference? It may be not very far, and that's what we're trying to determine this winter. So to expand on that work, we've just submitted with Joe Salisbury right here and several other co-PIs an NSF proposal to look at whether you can co-locate and get benefits to shellfish. So can you co-locate kelp growing with mussel lines? So growing kelp and mussels adjacent to one another, can the kelp improve the growing conditions for the mussels? Also looking at eelgrass paired with softshell clams. Do softshell clams grow better in areas that have eelgrass around them? And then finally, the third pairing is rockweed and oysters. So do intertidal zones that have a lot of rockweed, if you put your oyster baskets next to them, do the oysters grow better in close proximity to this marine vegetation? And I'll pass around, this is a conceptual diagram of that NSF project to show you, so you can visualize what it looks like. And the other, just so folks know, other folks on that, I mentioned Nicole, I mentioned Joe, is Hillary Neckels from USGS, Bev Johnson from Bates, and Nick Reckert and Nicole Poulton, they're also from Bigelow. Larry Mayer, who is a professor at the UMaine Darling Center, and he was also a commission member, he was in touch. He is heading up the Maine Coast Observing Alliance, which is a network of friends of groups and water quality organizations, and their first year report, which according to him contains interesting results for the OA community, will be out soon. He was hoping to have some take-home points for me to share today, but wasn't able to get them to me. So, so a few more Bigelow updates unrelated to marine vegetation, but related to lobster. J. Jess Waller is a graduate student at the University of Maine, and she works with David Fields at Bigelow and Rick Lawley, who is one of the state's leading lobster biologists. She did experiments in the lab at Bigelow this summer looking at impacts of warming and acidification on larval stage lobsters. She studied the impact of increased CO2, in this case 750 parts per million, and temperature 66 degrees. And she chose those parameters because those are predictions for 2100. She found that in elevated temperatures, larval lobsters experienced faster development rates, increased mortality, and increased respiration, whereas in higher CO2, mimicking acidification, development, mortality, and respiration were no different than present-day conditions. This suggests that elevated temperatures may cause more problems for larval lobsters than acidification. So she's planning to continue this work to incorporate genetics to see if specific genes in larval lobsters are impacted by the impacts of global climate change. So this is potentially positive results in terms of acidification impacts on larval stage lobsters. Again, she only looked at these three response variables, mortality, development, and respiration. But nonetheless, so increased temperature is not a good thing. CO2, maybe not.
How about together? Did she?
Yes, she did. You'll have to ask her. I'm sorry. The work's not published yet. She just presented at a conference up in Canada, but I don't know any more details.
Is there any work on what the organisms that they feed on are impacted? I mean, so how is the ecosystem they're dependent upon? Mm-hmm. Impacted by those conditions. Nobody's looked at that yet.
Well, people have, Mara, maybe you can answer this better than me, but I was going to say, people have looked at, done studies on things that lobsters eat, not necessarily because lobsters eat them, but just the value of looking at those organisms, like various shellfish that lobsters eat, have been found to be impacted. But I don't know if anyone has looked specifically at, you know, this is the main prey of lobsters, let's see how it's impacted.